Blog Talk Radio.
I pray to you, God, whom I call Allah, that you connect our hearts as one and grant us like-mindedness to be able to move forward in a manner that will unify us on one accord, to honor our ancestors, respect our elders, and properly educate our children, strengthen our families, and rebuild our community.
Welcome, everyone. Or should I say welcome, family? It's another Wednesday. You could have been anywhere. You chose to be here with us. Today, I want to get into a couple of things. I want to get into, one, black nationalism. The other is the 5% nation. And then the very first thing I want to start off with is where we at in our lives right now, and the need, or is there a need, for men to have more than one wife or more than one family? I want to get into that because I've been thinking about, you know, when I'm listening to Brother Jay Sean's show and sister, you know, she was speaking about being, you know, the side chick. So what if we had a reality where it was the other wife or the other family? Because we're in a war right now, I believe. And it's a spiritual war against the black family. When you look at all that's going on around us, from the promotion of LGBT, when there was a law trying to get I forgot the name of the brother. I can't get the brother's name now, but it's a law that they're fighting for right now, where the brother ended up, you know, dying from the knee on his neck. If anybody got it, run it to me. That's a law that's trying to be passed, and through that, the Asian got a law passed, and the LGBT got a law passed. The other thing that that is affecting the family is you look at sex being promoted without any, you know, without any commitment. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, go ahead and have sex, but after the baby's born, you know, the women, you know, it's a matter of, like, the way I said, they promoting women bosses, women being the bosses. And I think that's sending out the wrong message to the sisters, I think. There's nothing wrong with women having their own, as far as I'm concerned. However, there's certain, they have a lot of the young women that's rapping, and they talk about, you know, men having six figures and things of that nature. And the majority of valuable black men may not have that six figures, because there's more value than just money. Now, don't get me wrong, money plays a part, but there's some issues that are not being addressed as far as discipline, structure, guidance. These are the things that a lot of the young males and females are missing, because I believe that it needs to be a 50-50, the man and the woman. The man and the woman needs to be able to feed off of each other when they're raising the children. The woman is nurturing, you know? The woman is caring. The woman is loving. So those attributes are going to be instilled in the child or the children through the woman. And what is happening now that I see is that the males are growing up without having hardly any interaction with a strong male role model, as well as the females are having the same interaction where the males are not being present. And that's something that I think we can fix, but it has to be something that's consensual around the board, where it's, look, multiple men who have multiple children by multiple women. And if a man has multiple children and he has a woman, and the woman start worrying about what he's going to do when he's not around her with the children, he ends up neglecting those children. And those children end up being neglected, which end up being problems in our community. The issues in the home end up being problems in the community. So anybody on the line, if you got something to add to it, you're welcome to add something to it. But I truly think that we need to consider men have more than one woman. And when I say this, I don't mean just, you know, sneaking around, having sex, this type of thing. No, I mean an obligation to help raise the children. Our children are suffering. We're under attack. I was just listening to The Ballot and the Bullet by Malcolm X in 1964, and he was urging us to, you know, get into the black nationalism. That's the reason I want to bring the black nationalism up, where it's we control our economics and our political views, where we don't have to keep running to the government talking about, you know, we want you to change this law, we want you to change that law. We control our schools, we control our food, we control everything around us, and that's what gives us power. Be it ownership and controlling our own economic base. If we don't control our own economics, how can we ever have power? We're going to be asking. Yes, caller. Let's talk
Hi,
about
good
you.
Evening. How you feeling?
Good evening. I'm good. And you? How are you, sister?
All right. You got some good topics tonight.
Oh, okay.
I really like the two last ones that you spoke on, More Than One Wife and also A Spiritual Warfare. As far as More Than One Wife, I know we are very thin-skinned the time we're living in now, but if people go back in time, they'll realize that men always had, not per se two wives, but when back in the day, men had a wife, when they had a maidservant or a concubine, he had sex with them too, and that was like a wife, but it wasn't in the land. It just was the wife, maidservant, or the person that took care of the wife's kids. And down as we came back down further, even like slavery or servants, when they hired them, they had the wife and they still messed with someone that worked for them. And then, of course, slavery, they had as many women as they want plus their wife. And as we grew old, you know, came along, our parents had second families that he might have knew or he might have didn't know, and maybe found out after once our parents passed away. So this has always been an ongoing thing. It's just that we as women, or maybe men, we always feel that we want to have this person to their self. But then later on, when you find out that this person wasn't faithful to you, we get very upset. But this has been going on for thousands of years. And it's really, you can't really stop another person from doing what they want to do. But you can be strong enough to know that if this person does this thing to you, then you have to have a set of rules of what you're going to do if it happens. You know what I mean? You can't, because many people fall apart, but you don't have to fall apart, because it's not a thing that you want to sit and think about why you with this person, but it should be in the back of your head. Are you going to allow this person to still be in your life, or are you going to move on? And I just want to bring up one more thing, and I'm going to turn it back
go
to
ahead.
You. This spiritual warfare. You know, I know a lot of people don't like to talk about, you know, the Bible or God, but the time we live in now, the ruler of this world now, his spirit is here, and he's trying to get as many people on his side that he can. And you know that his purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. So that means that he's in everybody's relationship, family, or at your job, any part of your life. So you have to be aware and be suited up so that when this enter into wherever you're living, that you're, the whole thing about life is being prepared for whatever happens. Maybe because I'm older now, or maybe I just always was this type of person, I've always loved who I was with, but I felt like maybe I could always share somebody, you know what I mean? Because you're not going to hit it off with one person all the time. And if you feel like you can't grow, but you still could be together as friends, it's okay. You know what I mean? It's okay for me. That's my opinion.
Right.
I'm not as tough that I'm not so thick-skinned that I feel that another human being belongs to me. Even when you say I do, they still don't belong to you. It's just the oath that you took that this is a person you're going to spend the rest of your life, or to the end you're going to be with them. Now, maybe I'm wrong as a woman, but a lot of things women have to start thinking about, as I said, because a lot of people lose their real mind over somebody cheating over them. Like, do you want to live the one life you got your whole life worrying about this guy messed on me, or he could again, or where he at? Like, life is too short to worry about that. We're only supposed to worry about our children. A grown person we don't have to really worry about. That's pretty well all I got to say as far as that part.
Okay.
Those two topics.
Yeah, absolutely. See, and the thing about what I'm proposing here is that there are a lot of women raising children alone, and there are men who would come in and have sex with these women, but ignore the children. So what I'm proposing is not only do they have sex with the woman, they take on the responsibility of helping her raise those children. And because if we are our brother and sister's keepers, then that makes sense, because if it boggles my mind sometimes for a woman to say, well, I'll be the side piece. But when she the main one, she don't want to be the side piece. She want to be the main one. So it's a thing of the main, at where we at in our lives at this point, the main concern, I would think, should be the children, making sure we solidify our future being raised in a manner where they're going to be more progressive than we were and raise theirs to be more progressive and so forth and so on. The reason that I brought up the ballot and the bullet, because Malcolm X was talking about political, you know, we being hoodwinked by the Democrats in 1964. We're still being hoodwinked by the Democrats in 2023. People coming in our neighborhoods and, you know, buying everything up, and we're beholden to these people buying everything up. So at some point, we have to decide that, okay, because we are a unique people in this country, that means that we have to realize that some of the laws and some of the popular culture, we have to go against that. We have to figure out what's going to work for us as a people and start applying that. And that's why I brought up the black nationalism, because that means instead of you or me, we going to Congress talking about change this law for the schools so you could teach about the blackness, we open our own schools, you know, and instead of giving our money to the Chinese man, we open our own restaurant, you know, and so forth and so on. That's, first of all, we got to, you know, this where the spirituality comes. We got to know that in the Bible it says, one pray, you're praying. When two comes, it changes the dynamic. When more people pray together, changes the energy. We are a spiritual people. So if we come together, if and when we come together, we will be able to change the dynamics all over the world. The reality is the truth is being hidden from us because we have ruled the world for thousands of years, way before the, you know, the Caucasian came out of the caves. You know, we were already living in 3-4-story buildings. We were already so the whole concept of them bringing us here, it kind of makes me wonder, like, okay, if we could build 3-story buildings when they were in caves, how come we couldn't have ships and come here before they even ever thought about coming here? You know, but what the biggest thing about it is, the slavery is being used to keep us divided, and it's being used to uphold everyone else that comes here to say, look, these are the people that we make our money off. These are the commodities. Everybody who come here can come in our neighborhoods and make more money than us. If we're giving our money to other communities, what are we doing to ourselves? We're strengthening other communities, and grant you, I'm not prejudiced. I love all people. However, I have more love for the people that I belong to. So we are the ones that are in dire need of changing the way that we're living. So that's why it bothers me and it tears at me that we are fighting against what is destined for us, and we're seeing all the signs of other people doing exactly what we're not doing. We emulate a lot of things we see other people doing, but we are yet to start emulating the unity and buying up property and owning and taking control of our own destiny. We've asked, we've begged, we've marched, we've done all of those things. it's time to do something different. And that, you know, those things that I mentioned are different. What's your thoughts, sister?
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to try to be harsh, but I'm going to say this. I'm going to talk about black people because I'm black. So we have a thousand, maybe who knows, millions of churches, all denominators. Okay, every Sunday the minister has a certain time that he opens up and tell everyone they have to pay tithes. And you'll get more when you pay tithes to God. We got leaders that sit on the podiums, our Congress people, and they have meetings and they tell us whatever is going on. But yet, wouldn't it be nice if the churches had in the back of them a box that said, everybody just put a dollar in and we're going to build a community center, or we're going to take a park and we're going to fix it up, or we're going to give a carnival ourselves for our children. Because you could go to church and how many times a minister would say, well, we collected for so-and-so birthday, or we collected for somebody's anniversary, or we collecting because we're going to do something in the church. But you're not giving back to the community. You have all your members sitting in your church, but not once do you ever say, you know what, next Saturday, be not the homeless, because everybody's hungry. We're gonna be in front of the church, and we're going to set up a table, and we're going to invite people to come partake and find out what people want in the community. If you don't ask us what we need, we as black people, all we do is we talk, but we don't do anything. You understand? We just are talkers, but we don't do anything. Okay, like, yes, there's a lot of girls or women out there having children, and the fathers are not with them, right? So like me, if I had a baby young, I should tell other women, look, yo, that is not going to work out. And I mean, I know you're going to go that way anyway, but I'm telling you, it's not going to work out. Try to plan, do something different than what we did as a generation. But every generation do the same thing. I got a baby, next generation got a baby, the next one got a baby. And we give more baby showers than we have bridal showers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We give more parties for people getting apartments together and live together than we give to our neighbors to get to know them or to bring people closer. We don't plan for nothing better for us. We only plan for what we start accepting, like ministers. They don't talk about what's going on in your town or how we should get together and make it better. They get up there and they talk stuff that we say, oh, yeah, thank you, whatever, whatever. But I know that you're a Muslim, but right. Jesus went and talked around the people, and he didn't talk about, we're going to get together and we're going to a big gala party or we're gonna let a lot of the Egyptians move over here. No, everybody he met, he cared about. He helped them. He did the miracles and stuff. We got to start thinking about us as a people, not other people that come over here, but the ones that been here already. It's time for us to stand up. Stop talking about Malcolm X. Stop talking about Martin Luther King. Stop talking about Harriet Tubman. What, like you said, what are we doing as a people in 2023 that's going to make it better in 2025? What? What's going to happen? We don't even ask people to do the. I live in Patterson, and when I drive out, I don't even recognize Patterson. We look like New York. We got so many high-rise buildings. Where's the people at? Who are the people they bringing in for all these buildings? Like, you got to really think to yourself, who is he bringing into Patterson to live in these buildings that is not already filled up? But this person is not building one park, YMCA, boys club, rec, giving, You know what I mean? Not one building. He said, you know what? This is one building. Each floor is going to be for the kids. Each floor is going to be for the senior citizens. Each floor is going to be like a school that when the kids are out, the parents got somewhere for the kids. They're not giving us back. He's just making money by making buildings. For no parks. Can't find no parks. We don't even know who we live with. We just see people, but we don't even know nobody. We got to get it together. Got to get it together. And I mean, I try to do my part, but when you're one person, how much can you do?
Yes, we definitely need help. And
yes,
it's what you said about the church. My thing is this about the church. If you go in any church and you see a white Jesus hanging up, walk out of that church. See, the thing is, that's a part of white nationalism. Like, we have black nationalism and we have white nationalism. The Bible tells you Jesus wasn't white. If you read the Bible, it tells you he had feet of brass and hair like wool. So that person that's sitting up there don't reflect the Bible. Once you go up in there, then that means that this particular preacher is a 10%. And when I was saying I was going to say a little something about the 5%, the 10% is the ones who know the truth but hide the truth and fleece the 85%, those who don't know the truth. They use that to fleece them, to take from them, to manipulate them. And that's what most preachers are. They're 10%. You know, they're there to help the people. They're there to help themselves and to keep the system running the way it's running. Because you got to remember, most preachers have to go for training. They go for training. So they have to go through training and make an oath that before I became Muslim, I was in search. I went to the church, and this guy was beyond the pastor. He was like, what's the top guy? The bishop. He was the bishop. So I asked him, I said, is Jesus God or the Son of God? And he said to me, theologians don't even know that answer. Now, I've read the Bible, so I'm not opposed to the Bible or anything. I just didn't like them being straight with the people when they say that, you know, Jesus, you know, that was my problem was them saying Jesus was God, that, you know, the creator of all things, and then they gave you a white image. Now, possibly, if they gave us a black image, I could have went with it. But it was times in the Bible where Jesus was praying, and he was praying to somebody other than himself. You know, and if that's the case, then there's a creator of all things, and we are a part of that creation. So yeah, we are gods on this earth. But we're not the God that created everything in the universe. Now, if we come together to be for one cause, and that cause has to be the embedment of us as a people, what is it going to take? Like you said, we need a plan. We need to do something. So that plan needs to be, what is it going to take to improve our conditions as a people? And if we got to write it down and come up with a script that everybody got to adhere to, then so be it. And that's what we got to do, because black nationalism goes beyond religion. We're not even talking about religion. We're talking about what we have in common. And what we have in common is that all of us are suffering. When people see you, they don't see a Baptist, they don't see a Muslim, they see a black man and a black woman. And that's where they go from. So our religion don't matter as much as the way we are being looked at and the way we're being portrayed as a people. And in order for us to change that, we have to make the ultimate sacrifice of, look, we're no longer going to continue to talk. We're no longer going to continue to ask. We're going to do for ourselves. It would be, as you said, it would be remarkable. It would be lovely. It would be heavenly if the churches were doing those things that you mentioned. However, we as the community, we as the people, have the power to do those things ourselves. All we have to do is commit. Say, look, every time we come on the show, we're gonna put $5 towards something. And when we get enough money, we go put it towards the building for the children. We can do it. We have the ability, and we actually have the economics. We just hesitate to do it because of whatever reasons. I'm not even sure why we're hesitant to do it. It could be because we've had bad experiences with each other, but we've had worse experience with other people. So if we can forgive them and still go back to them, how many times you went in a store and got followed by a white person? How many times you may have went into a Chinese store and they talked to you a certain way, or Italian store, whatever store, and you had some kind of discrepancies, the banks, whatever, but you still went back. So how come we can't forgive each other and move forward in a manner that's going to be beneficial? What are we actually showing
One thing we as a people got to start doing is, and which I do, when people be like, but what nationality are you? What are you? And I'd be like, I'm in the human race. My color doesn't define me. You know what I mean? This is just the color I was born with. I don't have to say that I'm Afro-American or I'm from Africa or whatever my parents are from. I'm a human being. It's like everybody. Everybody's born a human being. Your color comes secondary. We as a people, all of us, need to just come together. We all want the same things in life. The same things in life. When a woman is going to have a baby, she's not thinking to herself, oh my God, I hope that he don't be black, or I hope that he don't be white, or I hope that he don't grow up to be poor. We just want a healthy baby, boy or girl, with 10 toes and 10 fingers. You know what I mean? That's all we want as a parent. And that's what we got to start doing as human beings. Like, we down here, it's for abundance. You know how much we can have now? We make more money now than we ever made. And we're worse off than our parents ever could be.
Yeah, $2.7 trillion.
Yep. My father had a fourth grade education. Fourth grade. And my father bought a house. He had his own business. He had his own hobbies. He worked three jobs. And here we are, we making more money and a higher education. And when we get older, we don't have nothing to even show. Because we don't have that determination in life that the things we want, we go after. We let people stop us from reaching what we want to be or to become, to get in life. You know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah, white people is out there, but white people can't stop you. We live in 2023. You let them stop you because we've heard it all the time. Just like they heard, oh, niggers, oh, black people, oh, don't live by them. They'll tear your neighborhood up, or they can't go to school without kids, or they can't be with us, or you don't want to work with them. That's the belief that they've been learning all their life, just like we always learn. Oh, don't trust a white person, they the devil, or you can't be with them, or they don't want you here, they're checking you. So what? Whatever. We belong on this earth just like anybody else. We have our rights.
Absolutely.
To be on this earth and live the way we want to.
I totally agree with you that this is something that we have as human rights, you know. So a lot of times when I'm doing my content for my pages, I strive to say American black people. First, we need to acknowledge ourselves as American. We're in America. That's who we are. Anybody else, we're American at this point. Black comes after American, and we're citizens. So that black American citizens, it is just that our take on white people has been ingrained in us subconsciously, because mostly everything that we've seen, white people have been a part of it. Whether you start a school, whether you go to the hospital, whether you go to court, whether it's police, whether it's lawyers, your whole circumference has been ingrained where white people can do it. Then to top it off, you give us Jesus, and you say, this is our Savior, and it's a white person. So subconsciously, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, we believe that these are the ones who can save us. And I think that's what hurt us more than anything, because subconsciously, whether you only saw for years a white Jesus, and this is your Savior. This is the one that died for you so that you can have everlasting life. And this same person is the one who's holding you hostage. So it's something that they have did a number on us where it affects us in a manner that we don't even realize that we're being affected by it. Like you said, that they say we criminals, this, that, and the other. We became the very things that they said we were. So they've had the chance to dictate and determine who we were. Yes, caller, let's talk about it.
Definitely, sir. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I was hearing what you said. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, thank you.
No, I was hearing what you said just now. I think you are kind of stretching it a little bit or exaggerating. I think the lady is making some excellent points, because barring what has happened historically, because everybody has had it tough, I think this is one of the best times in history for everybody. Now, that's not to say it's peachy keen, but on the aggregate, and I can give you a few stats, but it's better for everybody currently. And so, I would say that, for example, what other country would you like to take up residence in today?
Well, I mean, for me, I haven't been in other countries, so I don't have a idea of what country that I would want to go, because I haven't been there to compare it to this country. So I wouldn't know off the top of my head what country.
All right, allow me
like
to respond. I got you. All right, I can go to virtually any country in the world any country in the world right now if I wanted to. However, this is the best one, and I'm in contact with people, I think they call them expats, people who live in other countries that are American, and they never give up their citizenship. Now, in some places, the dollar does go further than the native currency. However, they can always return, as American citizen, they can always return to America. So I think what I would encourage you to do, and this is just fair, go on the internet, and you can find out more about a country than generally the people who live there know, all right? You really can. And then you can you can evaluate it. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is one of the better countries in the world to live in, all things being equal. This is one of the better countries.
Okay, when you say all things being equal, elaborate by that.
Well, sure. I just think that when you look at the economic situation, the freedoms that you have, for example, go to the Bill of Rights, or in other words, read the Constitution. That would be one of the first places I would encourage you to do. Whether you like it or not, I would read it. and then know what your rights are as a citizen. Most people don't do that. Most places in the world do not even incline themselves to say that you have the kind of freedoms there that you would have here. Freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of religion, you know, freedom of the right to associate. I mean, Americans have it. We don't have it perfectly, that's true, but we have it very good, as good goes. So that's what I would say. And you have the opportunity, let me just say this, and then I want to hear your feedback. What I encourage young men and women, but particularly men, to do is work, if they're in the second quarter of their lives, right, under 50, be willing to put in 60 to 80 hours a week. Get yourself completely out of debt. And that way you can, you know, stack your resources and pretty much write your own ticket. And freedom is great, even if you don't do a damn thing with it. It's great to have it. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, you said freedom to assembly. I mean, I've had a situation where assembly, they came in and moved you, said you had to move. Freedom of speech, I've seen some of the people that we looked up to had to apologize for saying something that Jewish people didn't like. So for me, it seems, okay, freedom, but it's a limited freedom, or it's a choice of who's more free when it comes to certain situations. Now, when it comes to finances and economics, because this is a capitalist society, when it comes to making money, sure, you can make a boatload of money, and you can be free from financial responsibility and debt. Yeah, you can definitely be free from that, and I totally agree. But there are some issues that we deal with that, to me, predominantly suits us, that we're the only one, just from the color of our skin, that they've made money, that money be made off of us, and people prosper off of us and our hard work, and we don't have nothing, we don't have anything to say about it. We don't be able to combat it. That's the reason that I was saying what I was saying. I mean, what if Jesus, if the thing about Jesus, the color about Jesus didn't matter, why did they make it?
Before you go too far, I want to question something that you've already said, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. See, and I appreciate this, you just said out of your own mouth, in a capitalistic society, you can make a boatload of money. Now, you
absolutely
know, myself, and I would say legally, myself, I would say, first of all, empower yourself with that. Because what will happen is that'll clear the window of reality of which you are looking or peering out of to possibly make it different. Because they say when you change the way you view things, those things change, and rightly so. So I would say empower oneself the way we were just talking about, and money is going to be the vehicle to that. I didn't make the rules. I just learned the rules and follow them. And then possibly you'll see everything differently. Now, the other point is this. If one chooses to be as nitpicky as possible and get the most extreme example to make it normative, they are always going to put themselves behind the eight ball, because life is on a percentage basis. It's always relative. I have relative freedom. I don't have absolute freedom. Hell, sometimes I just want to flap my arms and fly. I can't do that, right? I have to buy a plane ticket or something of that. I'm using an example, and hopefully you follow me. But if you use the most extreme examples to pigeonhole oneself, then, of course, one is going to see everything as chaotic, and they're not going to see the real reality that exists before them. So my position would be, first of all, get that money. Once you get that money, the flavor of the soup, the soup of life will become much more tasty. Trust me. Are you there?
I mean, I'm listening to you. Now,
all right, good.
All right, so.
And see, the point is,
yeah.
You said you can do that. You just said one can do that, not
absolutely,
you plural.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So I would
absolutely.
Say
one
do,
can
it.
Do it.
Yeah,
okay.
I would say
now,
do it.
Okay. Okay, the thing is.
Mr. Solution.
Yes,
how
ma'am.
You doing?
I'm
okay,
doing just well. Yeah. Thank you very much. Recite your name, please.
I'm Lisa.
Lisa, nice to meet you again. We've spoken before.
I just want to bring up. Still working
sure.
a prominent department store, and we had to get credit cards a certain amount every week. So I used to do that. I was like the top person that used to get credit cards. I used to get like 25 a week. Okay, so one day I start noticing, after many years went by, I start noticing the people that I got credit cards applications. Now, you tell me this, like, we always say we should get our money together, start doing our getting our credit and our money, saving it. Why does America, this is America, I noticed that when white people, Caucasians,
you're breaking
or whatever,
up just a little bit, Lisa. I don't know if you know that.
Okay. When Caucasian people apply for application for a credit card, they would get from $1,000 to $2,000 credit. That's in there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
People that's non-color, say Hispanics, they would get like from $800 to $1,000. And then people of color, black, will come in and apply for a credit card. The companies will give them $300. Or if you was a good black person, they would give you like $600. Now, you say that this is the best country that we can ever live in. How could they put on a scale of putting all different colors in a category of getting different money? Is money and credit is the same. So why can't a black person come into a store and get the same amount of credit as anybody else? And then I'm going to tell you another thing. Spanish.
All right, let's deal with one at a time because
I'm not finished with the story. Wait, hold on. So a Spanish guy came into the store one day, and he applied for a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that wasn't his name, and he got $1,000 credit. So I called my manager and I said, this guy got $1,000 credit limit and I know that's not him. Oh, don't worry
mm-hmm.
about it. I said, okay. So then the guy came back to me and he bought $1,000 worth of polo shirts. And it went
okay.
through. Now, you know, the store never got paid for that. But yet, they always putting us on a blast that, oh, we still, or we don't want nothing in life. They don't give us a chance. I've been with the same bank for 25 years and my money in the bank. I applied for one of their credit cards, and they denied me. They denied me, like, twice. What is the difference with my money being in the bank and I can't get a credit card, but somebody could come from another country and apply for the same credit card bank, and they'll give it to them? We're not equal here. We're not equal in America. America chooses who they want to give to and who they don't want to give to. And until the people that's on top of us come down and start treating everybody right, we're never going to be the best country. And we're not anyway anymore because we're not even black and white anymore. I don't know what the heck we are or the type of people that live in America. That's all I got to say.
Right, right. Let me respond to that. Those are some good points, Lisa. I don't know if I can respond to all of them, but let me just take the last one first. Lisa, what I said a moment ago to, I think that's Jashawn, right?
No, Shadi.
Oh, Shadi. Okay. Pleasure to meet you, Shadi. Yeah, what I would say to you, first of all, is see as few problems in the world as possible and learn how to circumvent problems. In other words, I would say be a lot like water. Go under, over, around, whatever it takes, or even through things. See, a lot of people unnecessarily burden themselves. Now, credit, for example, let's just deal with that. Credit is someone else's money that someone else really doesn't have a right to. That's a privilege to borrow someone else's money, and you have to borrow it on their terms. So what I would say, and I don't get into the racial thing because I don't think most of the time that makes any sense. But let me just tell you something. Have your own money, and you won't give a damn about other people's money. We're going right back to the common denominator that Sade just mentioned. And I love the fact that he mentioned that. I really adore that. He said that in a capitalistic society in America, one, including himself, can make a lot of money, a boatload of money. I think that was his term. Nevertheless, that's what I would say do. And credit, first of all, wealthy people don't even need credit. Credit is trash, right? And so I would say get above credit. Be your own banker, and you can do it. Just like I say, if you're willing to put in, see, youth is a wonderful thing, and health is better. Be healthy. Work that 60 to 80 hours a week, because I'm really a proponent of working. Get completely out of debt. That means you don't owe a damn soul or anybody. And then all of your money becomes yours. And once you get that money, you become empowered. Wealthy people don't give a damn about credit. Credit is trash. Credit is nothing, because you have your money. If I go on a car lot, I'm laughing all the way, because number one, I know how to negotiate. Get the skill, and this is what I'm saying too, get the skill of being competitive. Most people aren't competitive. They're defeated by every damn obstacle. Every obstacle that confronts them, I'm injured, I'm hurt. Don't be that way. Once you get your money, based on what I've just told you, and it's not easy to work 60 to 80 hours a week, make no mistake about it, it takes a lot of sacrifices. But if you do that for roughly 5 years, all of these problems that you're citing right now, imagine me, the problem that you cite, and I understand what you're saying, hopefully I'm not taking up too much time, Jayshon.
No, go ahead.
Sade, I'm sorry. But I'm looking down from the 30,000 feet level at the problem you're talking about. That problem that you're talking about, except for hearing the words and understanding what you are saying, is meaningless to me. I understand what you're saying, and I'm not saying your problem is meaningless. I'm just simply saying you can make it meaningless to you, too. It's just like traveling in a vehicle. You're looking in your rearview mirror. If you do what I'm encouraging you to do, you'll see the problem you're talking about in your rearview mirror. How is that?
All right. What you're saying.
No,
is
I was
great.
Asking Lisa, but it's okay for you to respond.
No. What you're saying is great. The purpose behind this show is actually my personal goal is to get us all on exactly what you're saying individually and be able to do it in unison. You know what I'm saying?
Right, could I respond to that just a minute, if you don't mind?
Go ahead.
First of all, you have the wrong paradigm. You're not going to get everybody on any damn thing. What I would say to you first is get yourself on it. You know, just like when you're in a plane and they say the pressure drops, you get a decompression of the cabin. Don't look around and try to help anyone else. First, put your oxygen mask on, because if you don't, you're going to pass out. and you'll be worthless to help anyone else. First do it yourself, and then you're the proof of it. And then there are only going to be a few people that are going to do what we're talking about right now, because it's hard work, and most people aren't going to do that. All right, so understand that. Your first error is thinking that you're going to get a lot of people following you doing something that's hard and progressive. It's not going to happen.
So,
it just doesn't happen.
All right, so tell me this. Tell me why when I went to Jamaica, I went to Costa Rica, you know, these
mm-hmm.
different countries. The common mm-hmm. denominator who was running these countries were not the individuals who were native of the country, but they were other individuals. So for me, it's obviously being done by some people, because if Chinese are basically have America in debt, then more than two Chinese are doing it. People are doing it together. So I can't say that it can't be done, because I see other people around us doing it. And when it comes to Latinos, I see Latinos doing it together. I've seen Latinos go in a store, keep it for 5 years, flip it to another Latino, they keep it for 5 years. So I see it being done. So it's just that I don't see it being done by us, that people that look like me. That's the thing that I'm saying. And and if it's that difficult, then why is other people doing it if it's so difficult? And maybe because it's – Let me finish. Maybe why it's so difficult is because some people can come to this country, and basically this is what Lisa was saying. Some people can come to this country 50 years ago and get a leg up for people who've been over here 200-300 years, and they give them they got to struggle. They got to struggle extra hard to get whatever they got. When it comes to having financially, I'm okay. For me, I'm okay. I'm good. I can do whatever I want to do. If I wanted to move to another country, I could. It's just something that was when I was like 4 years old, 3-4 years old, I always thought of other people other than myself. I'm not an individual type person to say, I got it. Heck with everybody else, they got to get their own. Pull yourself up by your bootstrap type of person. Like, this is something.
Wait a minute, that's not what I'm saying either. You're misconstruing me.
Listen. I'm not saying you. A saying that has been said, and I'm sure you heard, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, but what if you ain't got no boots? Now you got to get you some boots, and then you got to get some straps to put in the boots. So,
right.
You know, so that's all I'm saying, that sometimes it's so difficult for some people, and yeah, they have to work extra hard, and I've seen my mom work. You know, extra hard. I've seen him work extra hard. I've seen my grandfather work extra hard and died without anything. You know what I mean? So I know that, yeah, you can work extra hard, but if you don't have a plan, like, it helped me to see that happen, but it's you have got a good grasp of American and capitalism. I can tell by the way you talk and what you say.
So do
yeah,
you.
You
just told me that you do too.
Yeah, I do. I want to share it with other people who are willing. As you said, I know that everybody's not going to be willing to take it. When it's difficult, some people fold. Some people want the easy way. But there are some people who work hard, but they just don't have the understanding of what to do with the money. You know what I mean? They need to be taught, and they need to be encouraged. So that's what I want to use this show for. For those who are working hard,
right,
but not sure how to maneuver their money to make it work for them. So that's, you know, that's what the show is about, helping those who are unable to, like you say, get that perspective in their mind that, okay, I'm working 40 hours, I'm working 60 hours, I need to be able to put at least 10, 20% away from myself after all my bills are paid, you know, that
right.
type of thing. So that's what we striving to get people to understand. Everybody don't know that.
May I respond to that?
Go ahead.
All right, yeah, thank you. Look here, let me respond. First of all, I want to go back. You mentioned Jamaica, and you mentioned some other immigrant groups.
Costa Rica, yeah.
Yes, sir, I got you.
Yeah.
See, what you don't understand, many people don't understand. Well, I'll say maybe you in this case,
yeah,
and you can tell me if I'm correct or not. Those people, a lot of those people have the mentality of burning the ship. And if you've ever heard of burning the ship, that means like when you go into a particular place, you don't have a plan of retreat. It's do or die. A lot of people operate that way. And so what I would encourage you to do, rather than just say what those people are doing in Jamaica, and I'm going to use the concept of eclectic. It means choosing the best systems, styles, or methods. The best systems, styles, of method. Eclectic. It's good to be eclectic. So without going too far, see, you don't know what those people did and how long it took them to get in a controlling status. And people are competitive. People compete intramurally, intermurally. People, people compete all throughout the human paradigm. So what I would do, rather than just lumping those people in a particular category, is find out exactly what they did and then try to mimic it. The other thing I would say, there are a couple of books, The Millionaire Next Door. There's a book called Powernomics. There's a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. That book was written in 1934. So some people have to read more. You've heard the old adage, reading is fundamental. But what I would also do, since you've made it, according to your own testimony, I would work with other worthy people because you don't want to waste your time, and I would work with them and help them. It's kind of like, each person help another person. It's kind of like we're doing now. We're talking to each other.
Absolutely.
It's always good to do this, but rather than condemn a group of people without knowing what they have gone through to get to where they are, I don't think that's a just way to proceed. So that's what I would do. Maybe the people, I won't say everybody is not as smart as everybody else, but I will say this, Sade, everybody is not willing to work as hard. Some people only want to work 30 hours a week. They don't want to work 60. And so you have to look at it. First of all, exhaust every remedy available to you before you start condemning people, because they may be doing it as legitimately as you would. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now I'm not condemning. What I'm not condemning by saying facts, things that actually happen, is not condemning. I'm saying that there has been an inequality when it comes to a certain ethnicity versus another ethnicity. It hasn't been, like you were saying, all things equal, then it would be different. But all things are not equal when it comes to this society. And I'm just saying that as a fact. That's been proven on several occasions, and there's more information from welfare to all of that there's a way that in which that as a native from here, someone like us that been here, compared to an immigrant, they get a little more boost. This is the thing. Let me give it to you like this. Okay, the immigrant, they give them the boots and the bootstraps to pull themselves up. the people from here, they don't give you the boots. They just tell you, you got to get the boots and the bootstraps on your own. So that's the thing. That's what happens. And that's not downing anybody. That's just a fact of the way that America is. I'm not under any illusions that America's been equal. I'm not under any illusions of that. These are facts. These are things that you can read in books. You can go down the history. You can watch the documentaries. You can hear people testimonies. You can do the statistics. Biden said out of his own mouth that he knows that when it comes to housing, there's been a discrimination against black people when it comes to purchasing housing. So there's a discrimination. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. No, you don't want to take it as an obstacle and give up. No, I definitely don't want that. I want people to be encouraged, but at the same time, I would like to put America on notice because they lie. They've lied, and then when people like you say, oh, this is the greatest country in the world, that gives them a way out. Yeah, this is the greatest country in the world, but they're not being fair to everybody. And that's the thing, and we happen to be the ones that they're not being fair to. That's the problem that I have. That's the only problem
that
I have.
Well, okay, what I said, I didn't say that as an unqualified. What I said was, relatively speaking, because we always have to compare things to existing things. But this is the thing I would say to you. It's much more healthy to be a victor than a victim. And what I would say is there are all kinds of means to rectify things. Certainly, let me just say this, and I'm a person who believes in the legal system. I utilize the legal system extensively. So I would say if a person feels that they have been unjustly treated by the state of affairs, by the powers that be, pursue all your options. I'm not saying don't do that. Do that. But I'm saying at the same time, don't see oneself as a victim, because that becomes paralyzing. Because when a person sees themselves as a victim, what they're saying is, I'm powerless. The other person has power over me. I'm not saying you are saying that per se.
No, I understand what you're saying. No, I understand.
All right, fine. So I'm saying pursue all your legal remedies, all your options, but understand at the end of the day, as they say, everything is on you. So what I always like to say, could I make it, could I do it again? Could I do it over again? And I'm looking at all kinds of options because I love sharing, I like sharing with these with people. In other words, sometimes you have to move. Mobility is very important. You have to leave your buddies who want to hang out on the block, right?
Absolutely.
You have to,
absolutely.
Yeah, wait a minute. A lot of people are not willing to do that. Sometimes you have to leave your town. One has to leave your state. You may even have to leave your country. What I found out, that if you get these internships in many companies, now I know we're undergoing a contraction now. This is an economic cyclical thing, but we'll come out of this. But what I would do is get an internship and go to a foreign country. Now, when you go to a foreign country and spend 2 to 5 years, whatever, and then you come back, you're automatically in a higher position. Why? Because most people don't want to move. They don't want to travel. They don't want to uproot themselves. So I'm just saying one of the most important skills that one can develop along this journey to success is to be competitive. Be competitive. Most people are not competitive. They give up. They're running the football and someone hits them. Oh! And they just give up. They quit. So this would be my point, and more people do this than you would imagine. They quit. So don't be a quitter. Be a super competitor. If you and I are in a contest, you lose. And what do they say? Second place is a first place winner, is a first place loser. Coming in second, first place loser. Yeah. So my point is, and again, pursue all your options. No one is saying that you shouldn't, but complaining doesn't equal a solution. Complaining equals failure. Complaining alone, let me just say it that way. And so I would just say, and I go with your statement, I like your statement, anybody can make a boatload of money in a capitalistic system if they're willing to work hard enough. So I would say take the Nike slogan, just do it. And a lot of people don't do it. They complain it.
But Mr. Solution, first of all, one thing is you have to be introduced to an idea like that. Okay, say like when we was in school, your teachers had to introduce you to what you need to do and what ingredients you need to make it on the outside world once you left high school. But maybe you might have one teacher that really taught you something, and you can hold on to that idea and made it happen later. But
right.
A lot of people now are not getting, nobody's giving them the fact of what they need to do. And you're right. I mean, I usually don't agree with you, but one thing that you're right about tonight, tonight is that you do. Like, I'm going to tell you for me example, because I know Shadi had to leave. I was the type of person when it was time to go home from work, I was out of there. I was waiting at the time clock, waiting to clock out. But now, the person I am now, I'll stay a little later. You know what I mean? And give the company a little bit more and do a little more. Or I give myself more. You have to redirect your mind in the way that you can make it better for yourself. Because like you said, sometimes you get the wrong impression in life, and then you keep living like that, and then before you know it, you're older, and then it hits you. Like, I'm older. So now I work a little later. I pay off bills, like you said. I think about my future. But also, like Shadi said, I try to pull back and bring somebody with me. I don't care if they're a person that hangs on the street. I don't care if they're a person that don't even know what's going on in life, because that's what we're here on this earth, to help one another. I can't just go and make a better thing of myself, which I am number one, but it's okay to bring somebody with you. Because some people don't get it. They don't have that concept of what they need and ingredients to make themselves be the best they can be.
Right.
Okay,
right.
With that being said, we're going to end there. It's been a pleasure having you, Solution. It's been a pleasure having you, Lisa. That's it for tonight. And that everything was excellent. It was just what hopefully the callers, the callers.
Make one final statement, Shade.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is an excellent program, and I just want to say, Lisa, one adjustment to what you said. The primary educator of children should be at the home, not at school. School should just be a supplemental. And so I would say read that computer you have in your hand has more information than they've ever had throughout history. So I don't accept excuses, Lisa.
No, it's so
and Sade.
Let me tell you.
No, I don't accept excuses.
I read 30 books a year. Yes, I do. Every year I add on another book. So let me tell
Wonderful.
You, my parents never told me to read a book, but I learned
Wonderful.
On my own. So let me tell you. Somebody has to put it in you so to know that you can do it.
Right. Well, you're my hero from now on. Look, I'll catch you next time. Thank you very much, and God bless.
All right. God bless. Thank everyone for listening. Thank you all, for taking time out of your busy day to listen to us. I pray that all of you who are listening, that your hearts and your minds grow closer towards each other and towards your family members, so that we will be able to move beyond the differences and focus on learning to love, forgive, and work together towards building a better world for us all. With that being said, I would like to thank you all for taking out the time of your day and spending this precious moment with us. Anything that I said that was insightful and helpful came from Allah. And anything that I said that was unclear or confusing came from me. And I ask your forgiveness. God bless you. Good night. And until next week, I love you all. Peace.
By the river, in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movies, and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me, oh, hang on. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
I'm here to say, you can go talk to